Good morning. Good morning. We got to call that youth group tidings men's, young men's choir, right? Praise God. Jesus cares. And we're going to continue talking about Jesus this morning. And hopefully it will shed some more light on him who truly cares for us. We've heard so much this morning about what's going to be in my message. The Spirit of God is leading. Shall we just say a quick word of prayer? Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you that you commanded the light to shine in the darkness of our hearts and bring us to that place of conviction. And we praise you, God, that we responded and now have been made free. And so, Father, as we would hear from you, we pray that everyone would receive a portion, but those who do not know the Lord Jesus, we pray that they wouldn't harden their hearts, but allow the light of the gospel of Christ to shine in. And we know your word will not return to you void, but it would accomplish what it set out to. And so we thank you for what you've done and are doing and what you're going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we look at John chapter 8? It's not the only passage we're going to look at, but we're going to start there. Move on to some other scriptures. John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Then we go to verse 24. Jesus speaking, he says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will die in your sins. Verse 25, he says, then they said to him, who are you? And then we're going to go down to verse 53. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself to be? And then verse 58. Last verse for now. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And we trust that God would bless the reading of his word for his name's sake. Amen. I want to thank the leadership for this opportunity to minister to God's people, God's word. And thank the saints for your prayers. Continue to pray that young men like we saw earlier would continue in the things of God, being faithful. And sisters as well. I only mentioned the guys because they were here, but all our young people. Looking in the rear view of the Juneteenth anniversary, which just passed, commemorating 1865, Emancipation Proclamation. And recently, I attended my daughter's graduation. Both happened the same day. We were in the morning at one, and on the street side, there were people chanting, some of them saying free Palestine. And then we went to the afternoon graduation and we got the same dose of it. Some of them snuck into Barclays Center And you know, this is the first time I actually got to see in person this happening. People actually got escorted out. And they were chanting the same things, free Palestine. And it got me to thinking of this pursuit of freedom that still exists. Even after 2,000 years, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and he led captivity captive, as Paul tells us in Ephesians. But people are still seeking to be free. Some use means of political, legal, and you know, protests and other means. But Jesus' words in this chapter particularly revolutionize his hearers' understanding of slavery and the hope of deliverance. By the way, my topic is not going to be on slavery. I'm just making a connection here. Jesus said, and here are these words, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." These statements were relevant then and they're applicable now. The Word of God is living and it will not fail even after heaven and earth passes away. So now we look at the message for today. Jesus' public ministry, according to John, lasted about 3.5 years. And during that period of time, there were some milestones. There were 3 Passovers. And at this point, when Jesus was speaking to them, there was still one more Passover before he would be crucified. 7 miracles that all pointed to the deity of Christ. And there were 7 I am statements. And typically, when John writes, he makes a connection to Old Testament types of God. And we find that in chapter 6, 7, and 8. In 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," which speaks of manna, which God provided for them in the wilderness. And then in chapter 7, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Jesus here was talking about the Holy Spirit, but this speaks of water that they drank from the rock. And then here in chapter 8, he says, "I'm the light of the world." This reminds us of the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud that was with Israel throughout the wilderness journey, both day and night. John wrote 2 major themes. He unveiled the deity of Christ as the Son of God. And the second theme was that the world may believe in him. Jesus' words were mostly directed to all. Not just the people that he was talking to here. They were those who believed. They were the Pharisees and the scribes. There was his disciples. But Jesus spoke past, present, and future. And we see an example of this right here in this chapter. When he says, "Your father Abraham," verse 56, "your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." That speaks of the past. "And he saw it and was glad." That speaks of present, at their present time when he spoke. And then in John 20, Jesus was talking to Thomas, and he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Future. And that's us today. So Jesus' words were always past, present, and future. And we're going to hear a little bit more of that later on. This encounter with Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees occurred during his 3rd year of ministry. And he was in the temple teaching during the Feast of Booths. Why is that important? Because during this feast, there was a lamp lighting ceremony. So you could understand Jesus' statement, "I'm the light of the world," was both timely and strategic. Jesus uses "I am," like I said earlier, several times. And it was as if he was leaving breadcrumbs to the unveiling of his deity. His intentions and his Father's will was that all may believe, including his opponents. But they, the scribes and Pharisees, they didn't follow the clues because his word had no room in their heart. Their intentions was as their father, the devil. They wanted to accuse him when they brought the woman in early in the chapter who was caught in adultery. That plan failed. And then they tried to kill him by stoning, which also failed. These attempts failed because verse 20 in chapter 8 tells us his hour had not yet come. They couldn't do nothing unless God allows them to touch him. So join me as we follow the breadcrumbs that John leaves as Jesus unveils his identity. We start in verse 12, and he speaks here to the believer. He says, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life." Truth here doesn't conceal, doesn't hide, but rather it illuminates, kind of like these lights are doing. It enlightens, goes deeper, and then it transforms the heart. Jesus sets the stage by calling everyone's attention to the light. And some theologians believe that the Feast of Tabernacles had finished, so now it was dark in the temple. So when Jesus mentioned the light of the world, it got people's attention. The Apostle Paul wrote about the true light also. And it is so fitting because he was blinded by a light one day. Remember when he was on the Damascus Road, heading to persecute the church. But after Jesus had enlightened his heart, he said this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 concerning his experience. He said the darkness of his heart was dispelled by the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And it was not deep enough. And if that was not deep enough, he continues in verse 6 rather. He says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He gives us a mouthful here. The darkness I've shone in their hearts. Remember in John 1, John testifying of Jesus, he said, "The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." This light shone in Paul's heart as the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Basically, Paul is saying here that Jesus was on earth as both man and God, shining his light in a dark world, which is what the church today, by the way, is doing. We are light bearers to shine light in the dark world. But Jesus is not here, but his Holy Spirit empowers us. Paul's statement, "God commanded light," is in harmony with Jesus's statements to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Remember that in John chapter 3. And he's also mentioned in chapter 7 as well. He came to Jesus by night a lot of night and darkness here. But Jesus enlightened his heart. And this is what Jesus says concerning how God commanded that light. Our brother read this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice that it says, for God so loved the world. It is God who commanded that light. It is God who demonstrated his love. And then the very next verse, some people say they feel sorry for John 3:17, because we always quote 16. Jesus says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Notice it says there, it begins there again by saying, for God. God is the only one who is able to save. And he is the one that commanded the light of the gospel through Jesus Christ to shine. Now you would think that after this great light has come into the world, all would be well. But we just need to look around, look at the news, and we know that's not true. And we look at the cemeteries and we know it's not true as well. Jesus says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And this is where we were before we were saved. We love darkness rather than God's light. But praise God, the light of the gospel shone in our hearts and we responded. And we trust that today, if you don't know the Lord, you would respond to the light of the gospel. But for the believer who once loved darkness, Paul reminds us God is effecting a transformation. So this light didn't just shine just to look pretty, just to look nice. It is there because it's affecting a transformation that Jesus intends for us. We call that sanctification through his Spirit. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:16. He says, but we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. God intends to transform our lives by the light of his Word. His word, like I said, it illuminates, it enlightens, and it transforms. So as light bearers, and Paul says as sons of light, how should the believer live? How should we live? We should walk by faith, Paul tells us in Ephesians, and not by sight. The children of Israel, when they went to spy out the land, they saw the giants. And 10 had a bad report. But Joshua and Caleb, they knew. They saw the goodness of the land, that God was going to take care of them. And he was going to defeat those giants. And they had a good report. We too should walk by faith and not by sight. We see what is around us. And we don't get despair. We don't get discouraged because we know our God is in control. As I even heard in the news this morning, that there's a war going on. Our God is in control. We should lay aside every weight of sin, looking on to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Laying aside every weight of sin, keeping short accounts with God. As light bearers, we have a responsibility. And as believer priests, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must live holy as he is holy. How else should we respond? Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians, let us not sleep as others do. But let us watch and be sober. Not sleep. That speaks of being unconcerned of sin. and disregard for duty. Do we have unconfessed sin that we're just unconcerned about, no care? We just show up in church and no responsibility towards God. Paul says we should not sleep as sons of light. And don't disregard our duty as believer priests, as others do, but to be sober and watch, always on guard. Sober means self-control, and that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul tells us not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. And for most of you who've been attending the teaching, I don't have to go into the fruit of the Spirit, being the filling of the Spirit. We know it quite well. That the Lord Jesus would be Lord of our lives, so as people see us, they would see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Speaking to one another in psalms, this is in Ephesians 5, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. We were singing this morning as we sing every Lord's Day morning, and hopefully we're singing throughout the week, songs and hymns, spiritual songs to the Lord. This is what light bearers do, giving thanks always for all things. For this is the will of God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in 5:21 Ephesians, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And now this is not an exhaustive list, but these are some things we must do as light bearers in the world today. Now Jesus shifts his attention to the sinner in verse 24 of John 8. And he says, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus warns three times in this chapter, he who reject him as the Son of God will die. Once he said that, in their sin. And then twice he said, in their sins. Sin here speaks of, which is singular, refers to a sin nature that we all have, both saint and sinner alike. The sin nature we inherited from Adam when he disobeyed God. And sins, plural, refers to acts of transgression against the law, being under the dominion of sin, slavery to sin. But those who live before the law, they died because they had the sin nature of Adam. Those who lived under the law up until Jesus Christ, they die in their sins, plural, because they were transgressing the law. And after Jesus Christ died and rose again and is seated at the Father's right hand, those who sin now will die in their sins and stand before the white throne judgment as the books will be opened, plural books, and their sins, both good and evil, will be judged. So we have sin, our nature, and sins, our practice. That's why Jesus says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, in verse 34. And then Paul reminds us that the wages of sin is death. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us the wrath of God abides on you. Which simply means that if you were to die rejecting Christ, you would be cast into the lake of fire. And God didn't do that deliberately because he's not willing that any should perish. He does that because your sin separates you from him and condemns you to hell. But the good news is that the light of the Word, which is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, is shining today in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved and free from the penalty of sin, which is condemnation, the power of sin, which is slavery, and the presence of sin, which is that sin nature that will ultimately be taken away when you have a new body and you'll be in the presence of the Lord. The good news is that the light is still shining, which means God is not finished. And you're not here today by accident, but that you would hear the gospel and believe on Him. Don't harden your heart. Paul tells us the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is offering life and life eternal. Freedom from sin, from slavery to sin. And then finally, Jesus comes full circle. He says in verse 58 of John 8, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus changed his self-witness from "I am He" to "I am He" after he had used "I am" several times in this chapter, trying to get their attention, these Pharisees who were trying to kill him. And then he says, "I am He." We just heard he cares. Jesus cared even for his opponents. Much more he cares for us who believe. Jesus finally got them where he wanted them. And then the question is asked, who are you? Jesus says, "I've been saying to you over and over," verse 25, "from the beginning I've been saying it, and you still haven't gotten it." Then immediately when he said this, they picked up stones to kill him for blasphemy. But look what Jesus did. He escaped their midst. And then immediately he saw a blind man who was born blind. And Jesus healed him, one of the other seven miracles, something that was never done since creation. And he did this to reveal the works of God, confirming his witness as the light of the world. No man has ever done this. As a matter of fact, the blind man, after the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "How did he open your eyes?" And he said, "I've told you, you don't believe me." And he says, "Wait a minute, do you want to follow him too? Because you're asking so many questions?" Think about this. No man who is a sinner can do such a miracle unless he is from God. I was driving this morning and I saw a sign on Atlantic Avenue, "God, Jesus is dead." Or Jesus doesn't exist. Then he goes on later to something about dead. Jesus doesn't exist. And I thought of this blind man when he says, "Wow. You guys are supposed to be the teachers, and you don't even know who he is." Saints, as I close, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been singing about, his Son, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let us walk in the light. The songwriter reminds us, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what glories he sheds on our way while we do his good will. He does what? He abides with us still. Jesus says, "Lo, I'm going to go with you even to the end. I'm going to go with you." So we can walk in that light with confidence. and with all those who trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May God bless you for his name's sake. Amen.
I want to thank our brother for the word of God. Jesus indeed is the light of the world. No matter how dark your life may be, you may have done the worst thing possible, Jesus can still change your life. Matter of fact, earlier in that very chapter, chapter 8, this woman who was caught in the act of adultery, think of that as being in darkness, she met the light of the world, and her life was transformed because she encountered Jesus. So if you are a person who is going through any kind of struggles, difficulty, filled with guilt, come to Jesus. Confess your sin. Accept him as your Lord and Savior, and your life will be changed. That's the promise from the Lord. That's what he said. I am the light of the world. The reason why there is so much darkness in this world is because they are yet to find Jesus Christ. That's why we pray for leaders, we pray for family members, we pray for those who don't know Jesus Christ. Because our heart's desire is that they would come to know him. What a change that will be. I'm sure you know of many individuals who were of some sort before they met Christ. Once they met him, the transformation was evident to all. So we thank you for being here today. Those of you who are just visiting, as was announced earlier, immediately we'll be transitioning to a community church meeting, rather, a church meeting for members only. So if you are not a member, you're asked to go on the other side and wait for the person who you came with while the meeting progresses. And afterwards, as was mentioned before, there'll be a lovely meal, so lovely that you'll be glad that you waited. So go on the other side and wait while we have our church meeting. Oh, yeah? Okay, so an amendment there. We're not voting or anything of the sort, so if you're a visitor, you can actually wait and see how we do our business. So, yeah, you're welcome to stay, but again, as was promised, no snacks will be served now, so please don't leave expecting to be served a sandwich or anything like that. Nope, we are going straight into the meeting. We're not saying that you can't have a bathroom break. If you need to go to the restroom, this is your time to go and quickly come back so that we can have the meeting going. So, with that said, we're going to close in prayer, and one of our elders will come forth and begin the meeting. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the time spent in your presence here, Lord, worshiping this morning and then hearing your gospel. Thank you, O Father, that we have done what you have asked us to do, that is to worship your Son, Jesus Christ, and then to present the gospel. Let the world know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Oh God, we know that your word is never wasted, and it will accomplish that which it was sent for. So we pray that your spirit will take your word and convict men and women, oh God, so that they will come to know Jesus Christ. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, may your word strengthen us, Lord, to walk closer to Jesus, and day by day be transformed to be like unto him. Thank you for the meeting today, Lord. And we thank you for having been with us, your spirit leading us. And we thank you, Lord, for the meeting that's about to begin. We ask, Lord, for your guidance.